the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, calls for a probe into the Israeli war crime at Gaza's Nasser Hospital, where some 280 civilian bodies have been recovered from mass graves. Israel's spy chief resigns over intelligence failure in preventing the Hamas October 7th operation. And Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi calls for the expansion of ties with Pakistan, saying the two sides have decided to increase their annual bilateral trade by $10 billion. Hello and welcome to World News. I'm Marzia Hashmi. Thanks so much for being with us. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation has deplored as a horrific massacre the recent revelation of IOF crimes at Nasser Hospital in Gaza's Khan Yunis. The OIC has condemned the execution and mass burial of hundreds of Gazans as a war crime, a crime against humanity, and organized state terrorism. It says those executed were medical teams, patients, and refugees taking shelter at Nasser Hospital. The OIC has urged the International Criminal Court and the International Court of Justice to assume their responsibility in this regard. Civil service workers in Gaza have recovered the bodies of 283 Palestinians in several mass graves in Nasser Hospital yard, most of them women, children, and the elderly. Some of those executed were blindfolded and handcuffed. Earlier, we talked to our correspondent in Gaza, Moti Abu Mosabeh, who gave us updates regarding Israeli attacks on the besieged Gaza Strip. Here's what he had to say.
The last night was horrific for the Palestinian people across all areas of Gaza Strip, whereas the Israeli occupation forces persisted and continued their airstrikes against all areas of Gaza Strip. And let me begin with the latest attack that targeted a group of the Palestinian civilians here in Deir el-Balah City in the popular market in the central area of Deir el-Balah City. The Israeli warplanes targeted a group of the Palestinian civilians. Multiple and dozens of the Palestinian casualties were left behind that attack. Over the last night as well, the Israeli warplanes carried out an airstrike against a residential building in Al-Prouk neighborhood in Deir el-Balah, in the southern part of Deir el-Balah City. The entire residential building was completely destroyed over those attacks. And here, in addition to that, in the central area of Gaza Strip, basically in an Nusayrat refugee camp, the Israeli warplanes also continued and intensified their airstrikes against the northern part of an Nusayrat refugee camp. Several Israeli airstrikes hit that area. In addition to that, the Israeli artillery shelling was maintained against those areas, including Al-Mughraga neighborhood, Al-Zahra town, and Gaza village area. In addition to that, multiple Israeli shells actually targeted the upper floor of the Al-Awda hospital in an Nusayrat refugee camp. The entire solar panels there were completely destroyed and devastated over that attack.
Meanwhile, Israel's military intelligence chief has resigned for failing to prevent the October 7th unprecedented attack by the Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas. Major General Aharon Haliva said in his resignation letter that the intelligence division did not live up to the task that they were entrusted with. In an earlier comment, he had said that the entire war on Gaza began with a security failure. The 38-year veteran of the Israeli army is the first high-ranking official taking the rap for the Hamas operation. His remarks were followed by a statement from Shin Bet chief, who was admitted to a massive military failure on October the 7th. Israeli media and commentators expect further resignations once the regime concludes its killing campaign in Gaza. The Israeli cabinet is already under fire over the Hamas operation that tarnished reputation of the Israeli military and intelligence services that used to be deemed as invincible. Meanwhile, Israeli regime forces carry out yet another raid in the occupied West Bank amid simmering tensions in the region. The regime's military targeted the northeastern city of Tubas in the raid. During the incursion, explosions could be heard across the city. The Zionist regime has stepped up its raids across the West Bank since it began its onslaught in Gaza on October the 7th. Meanwhile, Palestinian resistance fighters have carried out an anti-Israeli operation in Al-Quds. According to initial reports, three Israelis were wounded in the suspected car-ramming attack. Palestinians say such moves are in response to decades of Israeli atrocities. The regime has killed at least 482 Palestinians since October the 7th. Our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandil, tells us about the fresh Israeli incursions into cities across the occupied West Bank and Palestinians fighting back.
The Israeli military claims that a Palestinian arrived at one of the, bus stations inside Al-Quds, and he rammed his vehicle into Israelis there in two different incidents, and that two Israelis had been wounded and transferred to hospitals inside Al-Quds. The Israeli military is claiming that this attacker, as they are saying, succeeded to flee the scene and left the area last night, and after the late hours of the night, Israeli settlers raided the village of Burqa near Ramallah. They set ablaze a number of Palestinian vehicles. They tried to burn a Palestinian home, and at the same time, the Israeli settlers set fire to a sheep barn, and they slaughtered a number of goats and sheep, according to the residents of Burqa. And at the same time, the Israeli forces raided the village of Burqa in order to provide cover for the Israeli settlers. The Israeli forces, meanwhile, stormed several areas across the occupied West Bank. They raided Qalqilia, Tobas, Maythaloun, South Jenin, and northern occupied West Bank. In Balata refugee camp, East Nablus, exchange of fire have taken place between the Palestinian fighters and the Israeli forces. And the Israeli troops stormed Douma village, south Nablus, and arrested a number of Palestinians there.
Well, the exchange of fire between Hezbollah's resistance forces and the Israeli army continues along the border between Lebanon and the occupied territories. Reports have emerged of the activation of Israel's Iron Dome system in several settlements. Hezbollah says it's downed an advanced Israeli Hermes drone. Our Lebanon correspondent, Mariam Saleh, brings us the details.
We know that the sirens are sounding in at least 12 Israeli settlements all across the Galilee region. This is also in addition to the sounds of explosions in those skies of over several of the settlements like Kiryat Shmona, Kfar Bloom, Hanita, and Ishiad Yashuf, Shlomi, as well as Edmit. Those sounds of explosions, as we know, are the sounds of the fact that the Iron Dome system had been activated. But Hezbollah has, of course, launched several operations. There was significant launch targeting of the espionage devices in the border area that is facing the town of Al-Wazani. And that is considered, of course, one of the many times when Hezbollah has targeted espionage devices, even after they had targeted everything on the border. The Israelis are attempting to plant new devices, and every time a new device is planted, Hezbollah seems to target that. Hezbollah has also targeted groups of soldiers. You mentioned that also in the Western Galilee Park. We have one instance which was in the vicinity of the Hanita post, and another group of soldiers that were deployed surrounding the Al-Dhaira post. And this is, of course, also part of the tactics of Hezbollah, making sure that they target military personnel, not only devices. But the most significant, I think, in the last 24 hours was the fact that Hezbollah has taken down a Hermes 450. That is the fifth Israeli UAV that Hezbollah has taken down. Now Hezbollah has taken this on camera. They have aired footage of the fact that they have taken it down.
Exactly, Ron says the response to Israel's attack on the country's embassy in Syria was a legitimate act of deterrence and in compliance with international law. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman said in a weekly presser that Operation True Promise was meant to prevent further Israeli acts of aggression and to restore peace and stability to the region. Nasser Kanani stressed that the Iranian attacks were successful, despite more than 20 countries working together to repel them. The spokesman further slammed the U.S., the U.K., and France for blocking a Security Council statement that sought to condemn the Israeli strike. He denounced Israeli attacks across the region, including in Syria and in Iraq, saying such strikes violate the sovereignty of U.N. member states. Iran's military retaliation against Israel on April 14th has shattered the regime's much-hyped deterrence power. Professor and political analyst Jamia Milia Islamia says a retaliatory attack has highlighted the new assertive posture of Iranian leaders in drawing new red lines and the potential costs of crossing them. He says Israel hit Iran's embassy in Damascus without fear of any serious consequences, but Iran was able to showcase its offensive capabilities and the vulnerability of the Israeli regime. And now it's time for our news review. Iran's president, who is visiting Pakistan, says the two sides intend to boost the volume of their trade by $10 billion as a first step. Ebrahim Raisi made the remark during a joint presser with Pakistani Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif in Islamabad. Raisi added that the two countries are determined to improve political, economic, and cultural relations. Sharif, for his part, reiterated that the two countries' concern over the ongoing Israeli onslaught on Gaza. Now, the premier said Islamabad will work with Tehran toward the creation of a Palestinian state with Al-Quds as its capital. Prior to the press conference, Iran and Pakistan signed 8 memoranda of understanding for cooperation in different fields. Raisi is scheduled to meet with top Pakistani officials during his 2-day visit. He's expected to visit Sri Lanka after wrapping up his Pakistan visit. I'd like to welcome my guests to this news review, Islamabad correspondent Nasser Kazmi and Sayed Zain Abbas, political commentator in Islamabad. Thank you both. Well, Nasser, please give us an update on what has taken place during this visit so far.
The president of Iran is in Islamabad, and it has been a very busy day for him, as he has been meeting with the top Pakistani leadership, including the Prime Minister of Pakistan, Mia Shehbaz Sharif, and the chairman of the Senate, the upper house of the parliament, Yusuf Raza Gilani, along with other top officials, including the head of the National Assembly, the Speaker of the National Assembly of Pakistan, Riaz Sadiq. And later, he was engaged in several meetings with top Pakistani officials. At the moment, when I'm talking to you, is like the president is all set to meet his counterpart, the president of Pakistan, Mr. Asif Ali Zardari. So after this meeting, he is going to meet the chief of army staff, General Asim Muni. So it was today, bilateral issues were discussed in these meetings, and both countries were in mood to enhance the bilateral trade to people-to-people contact, to enhance the people-to-people contact. Especially Iranian side offered Pakistan several projects or several opportunities, including the visa issues, including the barter trade, the barter markets were discussed, and both sides agreed to go ahead with these projects because, you know, Pakistan and Iran are very closely situated on the same they have the close borders to each other, and both the nations want to strengthen these ties, especially as I have been reporting in the morning that Pakistan is looking for the energy requirements from Iran, especially in the field of gas and electricity. And yes, the Iran-Pakistan gas pipeline project was very vital for both countries, especially for Pakistan, as Pakistan is facing severe energy crisis. We have spoke to the petroleum minister, Musaddiq Malik, he was very optimistic and he told us that yes, Pakistan is going to complete this project.
All right, thank you so much, Syed Zain, Nasser Kazmi. Syed Zain, I'd like to hear your perspective about the importance of this visit to Pakistan by Iran's president.
Thank you very much. This event, this visit is, has multiple dimensions of importance. First of all, as Pakistani government is newly formed of the February 8th elections, and Pakistan is struggling with its economy, so this is important in both ways, like about the confidence building upon the international leadership, and also its importance is evident for the trade and economy. Pakistan need to Pakistan is struggling with to recover its economic crisis, and also Pakistan is in IMF plan, which is again a big struggling condition. And now the huge economic trade deals and venues are opened for Iran itself, and also with the help of Iran, Pakistan can approach the BRICS corridor. I think one thing is also very important, that it's the first visit of any head of the state after formation of new government. Also, it's the first visit of Iranian president anywhere after the Iranian retaliatory attacks on Zionist regime. So the people of Pakistan are welcoming like him, like a heroic welcome, giving him a heroic welcome and calling him the idol breaker, because of this people think that this is the victory of Islam. Both the political left and the political right are welcoming Iran, and we can imagine, we can witness the situation here, that people are celebrating as the victory of Islam against the Israeli regime. Also, the political left in the Pakistan is very concerned about the sanctions. You must know that America, U.S. regime has just put sanctions on the four firms just before this visit, on the firms which are cooperating in for Pakistan and the peaceful defensive missile program of Pakistan. So Pakistan and Iran need both need to defy these sanctions with barter trade and with BRICS countries. Also, the BRICS has another opportunity, because both the countries which are very close to Pakistan, like Iran and KSA, Saudi Arabia, both are concerned with the BRICS, and Pakistan can easily defy the sanctions and other things. Obviously, we know that the political and the power and economic poles are shifting towards the east. I think the, Pakistan is in need, and Pakistan should, and Pakistan would obviously explore these venues, which are very, very important for the Pakistani economy, Pakistani defense, and the geopolitical situation in the region. Also, the one thing which is very important, that Prime Minister Shehbaz Sharif has called and supported the narrative of Iran on the Israel, and also taken the stand and promised that Pakistan would support it. And Pakistan is obviously supporting Palestinian side of this conflict. So this is, I think, a very promising and optimistic approach toward building the stronger ties.
All right. Well, thank you both of my guests out of Islamabad, Nasser Kazmi, Syed Zain Abbas, political commentator. And with that, brings us to the end of this World News edition right here. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
Follow us on social media, to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
In the limelight.
The United States' veto of a draft resolution recommending that Palestine be granted full membership at the United Nations has been met with widespread global condemnation. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The website Axios has written about this story and tells us more. The United States has predictably cast its veto against a bid by the Palestinian Authority for Palestine to be recognized as a full member of the United Nations. The United States, the Israeli regime's biggest ally, blocked a relevant draft resolution that had been put to vote at the 15-member United Nations Security Council on Thursday, 18th of April. Britain and Switzerland abstained from the vote, while the remaining 12 UN Security Council members voted yes. Vanessa Fraser, permanent representative of Malta, the Council's rotating president, said the draft resolution has not been adopted owing to the negative vote of a permanent member of the UN Security Council. Palestine is currently a non-member observer state. An application to become a full United Nations member needs to be approved by the UN Security Council, and then at least two-thirds of the UN General Assembly need to vote for it. Russia's United Nations Ambassador Vasily Nebenzia said the US once again demonstrated what they really think of the Palestinians. He said, for Washington, they do not deserve to have their own state. They're only a barrier on the path towards realizing the interests of Israel. Citing unclassified U.S. State Department cables, The Intercept, an online American news organization, reported on Wednesday, 17th of April, that Washington was secretly pushing members of the UN Security Council into rejecting Palestine's membership bid. One cable read, "We urge you not to support any potential Security Council resolution recommending the admission of Palestine as a United Nations member state. Should such a resolution be presented to the UN Security Council for a decision in the coming days and weeks." The report said the countries being railroaded into rejecting the statehood included Malta, adding that Ecuador in particular was being asked to lobby Malta and other nations, including France, to oppose United Nations recognition. Zhang Jun, the representative of China at the United Nations, said during the Thursday vote that the decades-long dream of the Palestinian people had been quashed at a time when the admission of Palestine as a full member of the United Nations was more urgent than ever before. Iran's Press TV has also covered this story and tells us more. The spokesperson for Iran's foreign ministry has strongly condemned the irresponsible and unconstructive U.S. veto of a Palestinian request to the United Nations Security Council for full UN membership, blocking the world body's recognition of a Palestinian state. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Nasser Kanani said on Friday, 19th of April, Washington's move disclosed the hypocritical nature of the U.S. foreign policy and the isolation of this country's position within the international community more than ever before. The vote at the 15-member United Nations Security Council on Thursday, 18th of April, on the statehood of Palestine was put forward by Algeria, which represents Arab nations under the UN Security Council. Nasser Kanani said, the U.S. provides unilateral and unlimited support for Israel in the political, economic, military, legal, and international fields. He added, Washington's ineffective support for the Tel Aviv regime is at the expense of the American people and at the cost of sacrificing regional and international peace and security over the past seven decades. The Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesperson emphasized the U.S. support for the Israeli regime has disgraced it on the world stage and proved that the country is not a neutral player and a responsible actor in the international community. Kanani once again reaffirmed the Palestinian people's legitimate and undeniable right to form an independent state with the city of Al-Quds as its capital across the historical land of Palestine from the river to the sea. Nasser Kanani pointed out, the Islamic Republic of Iran believes that the will of the resilient and heroic people of Palestine will ultimately overcome the will of the enemies of the Palestinian people, especially the fake apartheid Israeli regime. The website of Syria Times has also covered the same story and tells us more. Syria has condemned the United States after it vetoed the resolution backing full United Nations membership for Palestine. The Syrian Foreign Ministry, also in a statement on Friday, 19th of April, condemned the U.S. veto, saying it showed Washington's blind bias in favor of the Israeli regime. The Syrian Foreign Ministry stressed that hindering the establishment of an independent and sovereign Palestinian state would only prolong insecurity and instability in West Asia region. It said insecurity originally arose from Israel's ongoing occupation of Arab lands and its perpetration of the most crimes of aggression against the Palestinian people. The United States was the only nation in the 15-member UN Security Council to veto against the resolution on Thursday, 18th of April. The U.S. action has drawn condemnation from many countries, especially Muslim world. The U.S. action has drawn condemnation from many countries, especially from within the Islamic world. Washington's veto came amid the Israeli regime's war on the Gaza Strip that has increased sympathy towards Palestinians and international calls for recognition of an independent Palestinian state. Since the start of Israel's offensive on Gaza on 7th of October, Israel has massacred tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians, many of them women and children. The English website of Qatar's Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, has slammed the United States for blocking Palestine's request for full membership in the United Nations amid a genocidal Israeli war on Gaza. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, said in a statement on Friday, 19th of April, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation expresses its deep regret at the failure of the United Nations Security Council to shoulder its responsibilities for granting the State of Palestine full membership at the United Nations. While the Palestinian nation are being subjected to the harshest level of aggression, persecution, and genocide. According to the statement, the United States' veto of the draft resolution, which recommended granting Palestine full United Nations membership on Thursday, 18th of April, violates the provisions of the United Nations Charter, which allows membership for all countries that accept the obligations contained in it. The OIC stressed that the U.S. move prevents the Palestinian people from obtaining their legitimate rights and contributes to prolonging the historical oppression imposed on the Palestinians for the past 75 years. Stressing the legitimate right of Palestine to embody its political and legal status in the United Nations, the organization said the recognition of the state of Palestine contributes to achieving peace and stability globally. The Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, praised the countries that voted in favor of the draft resolution, saying their position demonstrates their support for truth, justice, freedom, and peace, and their rejection of policies of the Israeli regime.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we will listen to the speech of Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani.
So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Being a father in the Islamic sense is a real jihad. It is so important. And we appreciate, we respect, we revere our fathers. When you do it the Islamic way, that means you take Amir al-Mu'mineen to be your role model. That means that you are the embodiment of two important traits. From one side, love, mercy, kindness. On the other side, strength, determination, and sacrifice. So yes, it's very important. When our little girls see that they're special, that their dad loves them, when our wives are honored, when our children see that we will kiss our mother's hands, this ensures that those small little girls grow up knowing they're special because Allah created them to be women. When we play games with our boys, when we take them aside, when we teach them the ropes, that's ensuring that the next generation will grow up to be men's men. So, in addition to that, I also want to offer some encouragement for our young brothers, our young soldiers, inshallah, to also one day, inshallah soon, also become fathers and husbands, inshallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajal farajam. Now, alhamdulillah, it's a wonderful occasion. We were blessed with wonderful poetry. Before that, the beautiful ayat of the Quran, where we're now making it not a filler. It's not something that we do before the speech starts, but we're actually listening to the verses. The verses are selected, and then we're looking at the translation, if we're not familiar with the Arabic language, to get benefit from the Quran. After this, instead of us having the Q&A portion, allow me to call an audible, inshallah. We want to do this. We want to have both a video that we've prepared for our youth to see. So we're going to talk about some of the fada'il of the Ahlul Bayt, but we want our small children, inshallah, to be able to see and then hear these fada'il narrated by one of our youth. So that's one. And then also, inshallah, afterwards, we're going to have a maulid recited by one of our brothers. So we're hoping that everybody stays for that. So no Q&A, but inshallah, afterwards, we'll go down and we'll break bread together, inshallah. But salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allah.
salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So, like it or not, my speech is the serious part of the program. We actually have a very serious matter to discuss. A very challenging matter. A very serious matter to discuss. We're going over, by the grace of God, a Quranic masterpiece. But it's important for us to realize what we're doing here. There are certain verses of the Quran that the Urafa would recite for their students. I'm going to mention this verse of the Quran, but the point is very important. Sometimes somebody will be making a lot of effort. They will be spinning their wheels. They'll be thinking they're doing everything correct, only to find out that they've wasted their time and they haven't been as effective as they should have been for the cause of Allah. So this is a verse of Quran. Brothers and sisters, if you can follow with me, this is surah number 18. So if everybody can turn to surah number 18. 18, surah Kaf, it should be surah Kaf. And then verse number 103. So if brothers and sisters, the verse is simple, let's read it together, but then let's look for the message and then why the reminder, why the serious part of the program. The verse says this, قُلْ. So God is instructing the prophet, say, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Shall we not inform you with those who are the greatest losers when it comes to effort? There are some people who are making all kinds of effort, spinning their wheels, trying. But God says this about them. Who are these people who God is saying to the prophet, we should inform you of those who are the biggest losers when it comes to effort? God says this in the next verse. الَّذِينَ, those who, ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Their effort, that Herculean effort that they're making, is lost in the life of this world. They're making effort, but it's lost. وَهُمْ, and this is the sad part, the kicker. وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. They think they're doing such a great job. I'm spending time, I'm making effort, I think I'm doing a great job. What happened? What went wrong? Brothers and sisters, we've reminded ourselves from the beginning about the importance of developing a Quranic aqidah, a Quranic worldview, so that we, like the Quran, we view God, Deen, Islam, fundamental concepts the way it was introduced to us in the Quran. What happens if I don't do this? Maybe I'll be spinning my wheels. And then in the end, I won't get that reward that I'm expecting. I'm actually a deterrent to the Imam arriving, because I haven't troubled myself with relearning Islam. So, brothers and sisters, there's a very beautiful hadith from the sixth Imam, when he says this, is again, you and I, alhamdulillah, we have the grace of God to commemorate the wilaya of Ali ibn Abi Talib. How many shuhada have given their lives for us to be able to do this? How many great ulama, how many mu'mineen, how much struggle, how much resistance for you and I to be able to sit here and gather and literally without fear to be able to talk about the wilaya of Ali. The Imam tells us this about the wilaya of Ali. Imam Sadiq now speaking. He says, Wilayati, Wilayati li Ali ibn Abi Talib. So the wilaya that I, Imam Sadiq, have of Ali ibn Abi Talib, ahabbu ilayya, is more beloved to me, Imam Sadiq, min wiladati min. I am happier, I am more grateful, I feel more blessed by the wilaya of Ali than I do being the biological son of Ali. It is so important to get it right. What is wilaya? Am I a wali? Am I muwali? Am I helping? So, the reason for doing this is to go over a book like this, because the Prophet has told us, he says, Aliyun mal Quran that Ali is with the Quran, wal Quran ma Ali. And the Quran is also with Ali. That means we need to know the Quran to get to know. And that's why going over a subject-wise tafsir like this is so important for all of us. So what happens is we're going to be redefining certain Quranic terms. These terms are used a lot in the Quran, but if the understanding is wrong, we might end up not benefiting.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has urged Palestinians to unite amid Israel's ongoing war in Gaza. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The head of the Politburo of the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has met Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan as Ankara tries to play a more influential role in efforts to bring an end to Israel's ongoing aggression in the Gaza Strip. Esmail Haniyeh, Hamas's political chief, met Recep Tayyip Erdogan in Istanbul, Turkey on Saturday, 20th of April, just a day after he met Turkish Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan in Doha, Qatar, where the Palestinian leader is based. The meeting lasted for more than 2.5 hours, according to reports in the Turkish media, which said that Haniyeh and Erdogan had discussed Israel's attacks on Palestinian lands as well as efforts needed for ensuring the delivery of humanitarian aid to the people of Gaza. The two also discussed measures to achieve a fair and lasting peace process in Palestine, said the reports, which indicated that there were no direct mention of the ongoing mediation effort to force an end to more than 6 months of Israeli war in Gaza. Turkey's TRT World said Recep Tayyip Erdogan had said in the meeting that Turkey is tirelessly continuing its diplomatic efforts to draw international attention to the oppression of the Palestinians. He also said in the meeting that recent tensions between Israel and the Islamic Republic of Iran should not divert attention from the plight of Palestinians in Gaza, adding that such a scenario would only benefit the Israeli regime. However, Erdogan's remarks came as Ankara is still being criticized by countries in the region for failing to significantly downsize its trade and economic relations with Israel, a measure they say can force Israel to reduce its atrocities in the Gaza Strip. Recep Tayyip Erdogan's chief diplomat, Hakan Fidan, traveled to Doha, Qatar on Wednesday, 17th of April, to meet Ismail Haniyeh just after Qatari authorities said they would reassess the position of Qatar as a mediator between Hamas and the Israeli regime. Analysts say Erdogan's harsh rhetoric against Israeli regime officials has also made it complicated for Turkey to play the role of a mediator in Gaza. Also, Iran's Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian has praised the combat readiness of Iran's air defense systems and described the Israeli military's unmanned aerial vehicles as more like children's toys. The Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian, in an interview with NBC News on Friday, said, "What happened last night was not a strike." The top Iranian diplomat went on to emphasize that Tehran is not seeking to escalate the conflict unless the Israeli regime commits a folly and launches a new attack. Amir Abdullahian said, "As long as there is no new adventurism by Israel against our interests, then we are not going to have any new reactions." Amir Abdullahian, however, underscored that Iran will respond to an immediate and maximum level in case Israel opts to launch an attack. "If Israel takes a decisive action against my country and this is proven to us," Amir Abdullahian added, "our response will be immediate and to the maximum effect and will cause them to regret it." The Iranian foreign minister also said Operation True Promise against Israel was intended to be a warning. Amir Abdullahian said, "We could have hit Haifa or Tel Aviv. We could have also targeted all the economic ports of Israel. But our red lines was civilians," Amir Abdullahian pointed out. He said, "We only had a military purpose." Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC, launched extensive missile and drone strikes late on Saturday night, 13th of April, on the Israeli-occupied territories, marking the first direct attack by the Islamic Republic of Iran against the Israeli regime. The series of retaliatory strikes dubbed Operation True Promise inflicted damage on Israeli military bases across the occupied Palestinian lands. It was in retaliation for an earlier Israeli attack on 1st of April against the Iranian consulate building in Damascus, Syria, located next to the Iranian embassy building in Damascus. The airstrike killed two senior Iranian military personnel who were on an advisory mission to Syria, as well as five of their accompanying IRGC officers. Qatar's Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has urged Palestinians to unite amid Israel's ongoing war in Gaza, following an hours-long talk with Hamas's political chief Ismail Haniyeh in Istanbul. Ankara has repeatedly slammed the Israeli regime's incursion into Gaza amid its failed attempt to stop the conflict, which has roiled the Middle East since 7th of October last year. Tensions in the region are running high as Gaza braces for a new Israeli offensive on the southernmost city of Rafah. Erdogan said, "It is vital that Palestinians act with unity in this process. The strongest response to Israel and the path to victory lies in unity and integrity." Erdogan was speaking on Saturday, 20th of April, after the talks at the Dolmabahçe Palace, according to a Turkish presidency statement. As tensions soar in the West Asia region, Recep Tayyip Erdogan said recent events should not allow Israel to gain ground and that it is important to act in a way that keeps attention on the Gaza Strip. The Palestinian resistance group Hamas has had an office in Turkey since 2011, when Turkey helped secure the agreement for the group to free Israeli soldier Gilad Shalit. Recep Tayyip Erdogan has maintained his links with Ismail Haniyeh, the group's political leader who has been a frequent visitor to Turkey. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan urged Palestinians to unite amid Israel's ongoing war in Gaza following hours-long talk with Hamas's political chief Ismail Haniyeh in Istanbul on Saturday, 20th of April. Erdogan has failed to establish a foothold as a mediator in Gaza conflict that has roiled the region. The Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said Palestinian unity was vital following the talks at the Dolmabahçe Palace, which Turkish media reports say lasted more than 2.5 hours. The strongest response to the Israeli regime and the path to victory lies in Palestinian unity and integrity, Erdogan emphasized. As fears of a wider regional war grow, Recep Tayyip Erdogan said, recent events between Iran and Israel should not allow Israel to gain ground and that it is important to act in a way that keeps world attention on the Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, Qatar has said it will reassess its role as a mediator between the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas and the Israeli regime. Recep Tayyip Erdogan has sent the Turkish Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan to Doha, Qatar on Wednesday, 17th of April, in a new sign that he wants a role as a mediator. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Islamiyah!
This is the part of a speech delivered by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with Iranian officials and the ambassadors of Muslim countries on auspicious occasion of Eid al-Fitr on April 10th, 2024.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. All praise is due to God, Lord of the worlds, and peace and greetings be upon our Master and our Prophet, Abul Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad, and his untainted, pure, immaculate, guiding, and well-guided chosen progeny, particularly the remnant of God on earth. I would like to congratulate all the honorable people here in this meeting, including the honorable officials from various organizations within the country, as well as the entire Iranian nation on the auspicious occasion of Eid al-Fitr. I would also like to extend my congratulations to our guests here, the ambassadors of Islamic countries, and to all the Muslim nations. We hope, God willing, that this Eid will be a true celebration and a source of joy and blessings for the entire Islamic Ummah.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
First of all, I feel it necessary to once again refer to the special spiritual atmosphere of the month of Ramadan in our country. The reason I emphasize this is because we should appreciate and preserve the spiritual atmosphere, which included gatherings for reciting supplications, beseeching God, praying the prayers in groups, thriving mosques, people helping others, and giving iftar, the meal for breaking the fast, in mosques and on the streets. In other words, people truly showed their merit during this month of Ramadan in spiritual aspects with their recitations of the Quran and other practices, in social aspects by providing assistance and financial help to people, particularly the underprivileged, and also in political aspects. The rally that took place on Quds Day was a remarkable international political move. Where else can you see such a thing? The information that we have received this year from the experts that we are familiar with tells us there was truly a public outcry in the country on Quds Day. There were larger crowds than seen in previous years. These are truly something to be grateful for. I sincerely thank our dear nation for taking the initiative and moving forward in all of these different fields. However, merely expressing our gratitude in words to our dear nation is not enough.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.